Welcome back to the Drive Lever Sage, Graham Creech and Cam Clement. Footloose, Graham. You sure it's not better than Danger Zone?
Yes.
Okay. I'm
confident with that.
Are you confident with
what? I just watched both Top Guns actually not too recently.
Really?
Yeah. Or pretty recently.
And the newest one is worth seeing?
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
Okay. A lot of people have said that. I just haven't gone and watched it. Okay, so what do we need to know, Graham?
We'll begin in the NHL, where, of note, the Islanders visit the Jackets this evening, and the New York Islanders, I think, would you say they're one of your favorites to lock down a wildcard spot? They have 82 points. They played 72 games. Same with Pittsburgh, Florida, in Ottawa. So they, and when you're looking at Florida, they have 79 points, so they're 3 points back. And Ottawa, I think that's out of reach, 7 points behind the Islanders. Do you think the Islanders are poised to be a playoff team?
I have said for a while that I thought the Islanders in Florida would get there. So I'm going to stick with that, but obviously there's a lot to be determined here.
Devils in Buffalo to take on the Sabres. Of course, the Sens face the Devils tomorrow in New Jersey, so the Devils will be on the second half of a back-to-back. The Sabres, meanwhile, are at 72 points, so 3 points behind Ottawa. They do have two games in hand on the Sens, but I think it's doubtful the Sabres will be playing postseason hockey. And the final game of the evening, Avalanche and Coyotes at 9 o'clock. To men's college hoops. Number one, Alabama, taking on number five, San Diego State at 6:30. Is that where Ryan Lindley went, San Diego State?
Yes.
Yeah. So that 6:30 tip on that one. Miami, number five seed, taking on Houston at 7:15. Speaking of the 15 seed, Princeton, taking on Creighton at 9. And battle versus of the 2v3, Texas Xavier, closing out the night at 9:45. The Toronto Blue Jays have named Alec Manoa the opening day starter. He was a Cy Young finalist last year, going 16-7 with a .224 earned run average. Manoa, the opening day starter for the Jays, who begin on the road. Let's go. And
which is super weird. They begin in St. Louis, by the way, against the Cardinals.
Yeah, like, instead of an American League team. Or
so, yeah, suddenly you're playing interdivisional, like,
or whatever,
to begin the season. It's just weird.
Well, it's different this year. Remember, it's more of a kind of a scattered.
Yeah, I know.
Where you're playing every team and stuff.
I don't like it.
At least not a fan. And finally, Team Canada. They clinch a playoff spot barely. They split their games today to go 7-5. And we believe Lee.
I'm not sure on this, Graham.
Yeah.
The more I've been reading about this in the last couple of minutes, the more I'm unsure of who they play next. Because there was still a possibility, this like remote possibility, that they could move up to finish second and get a bye, depending on the results of the last round robin sessions. And I don't know. They're in the playoffs. I think that's the only thing we can say
they're
right
in
now.
The playoffs. We do know that.
Yeah.
Anderson, Team Canada, in the playoffs. And the final thing, I think it's number one in our hearts, but
yeah.
I left it till the last
nice.
Because we're gonna hear from this person. Tyler Cleven skated with the Senators for the first time after leaving college and inking his entry-level deal, and he spoke to the media, and we're going to hear that in a moment.
Well, why don't we hear it right now? Tyler Cleven speaking to the media for the first time here in Ottawa this morning.
Well, what's racing through your mind right now?
Yeah, it was pretty exciting. Pretty crazy the last 24 hours. You know, coming from Grand Forks, I had to fly out here and got in here late last night. And you know, the boys welcome me, and I'm thankful and I'm excited to be a Senator.
Just the thought of being a professional hockey player now, right?
Yeah, it's exciting. You know, it's a whole new world compared to college, and you know, I'm excited to get started here.
Did you get in time to watch any of the game?
I didn't know. I flew into Montreal and drove here, so got in at like 9:30 and the game was just finishing up then. So first time I was at the rink this morning.
You were in playoffs like I think less than a week ago. Just what has this past week been like for you, signing the contract, getting here, finishing with UND?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I'm just very thankful for North Dakota and my 3 years there, and and all that they gave me and give me an opportunity there. And the transition process, it's not always easy, but just trying to maintain my current season form, and knowing that when the time comes, I got to be ready. And got the the deal signed less than 24 hours ago, and now I'm here. So,
how did your first practice with the Senators feel like today?
Yeah, it was fun. I felt good out there, and have a little bit of a faster pace. Got a little bit of time to adjust to that, but it was a lot of fun. There's a lot of guys in this locker room that I grew up watching and a little starstruck from, and it was awesome.
You're from Fargo, and the first dream was to play for you, and so did you weigh a lot of going back for one fourth year?
Yeah, I mean, I got all my family and my friends, and the coaching staff there is unbelievable, and all my teammates are very thankful for, and it's a tough decision when the time comes, but after 3 years, I felt that my time there was coming to an end, and I think that we had a really good run there, won a couple season championships, and I'm really happy with my time, but it was time to take the next step.
So when did you make that decision? Just this week?
Just talking to my family and my friends and just all my supporting group back home, just seeing what they had to say, and I felt that my game took a step this year, and Brad gave me a lot of confidence with the positions that he put me in, and it's just time to take another step forward with the Ottawa Senators. Yeah, it was awesome. Those guys all reached out to me, and I was roommates with Jake back in North Dakota, so pretty close with him, and just the transition process is a lot easier when you know somebody, and even coming to the rink this morning, just asking for advice and all that kind of stuff. I'm thankful to have a guy like him on this team that will help me out along the way.
Is one of them giving you a room here? Help you along here?
We'll see. I just got in last night, so maybe down the road, yeah.
What are your thoughts on how soon maybe you can step in here? Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, whenever DJ thinks that the time is right, turning pro, it's a lot different game than college, and just learning all the new systems, and I'm sure that he's going to want me to watch the game and try to understand it a little bit better, and just out there in practice today, it's quite a bit different from North Dakota, so just like I said, just taking the time to learn the new structure and get to know everyone, and hopefully it won't be long.
And Tyler, if you're comfortable sharing, you mentioned you were starstruck by a couple players here. Who are they?
Yeah, I mean, there's quite a few guys, but I know Claude Drew, grew up watching him quite a bit, and the battles with it was pretty cool. He came up to me and shook my hand. I was like, holy smokes, I'm here. So, it was really cool. And
why did you choose 43, or did you choose that number?
Yeah, I was 43 at NTDP, and I like that number there, and I got a list of numbers, but that's just one that I was familiar with, and I talked to family and see what they had to say about it, and they liked it, so it was good.
And you realized, or when did you realize that you couldn't take 25 here, the same number you had at UND?
Yeah, I've been following along the Senators all year, and I saw that they retired that number, and it was my dad's number, and anytime you get to be a part of an NHL organization, you're not going to complain about what number you got, so I'm just happy with 43.
You could start a new legacy with 43.
Yeah, exactly.
You might have had to fight Chris Neal for it.
No, I didn't.
How much are you looking forward to the first trip, getting on a charter flight to go to New Jersey?
Yeah, I'm excited. It's a whole new world that I'm being brought into here with professional sports, and gonna take it all in and try to learn from it, and try to do whatever I can to help the team.
All right, there's a little bit from Tyler Cleven speaking to the media earlier today. Holy smokes.
Holy smokes.
I'm here. Shaking the hand of Claude Giroux.
Pretty cool. I was saying to Bakes last night, we were just chatting, watching the game. Like, I've always appreciated Claude Giroux. Of course. Followed his entire career. But it's really, it's awesome to be able to watch him as a Senator, like up close every day, just to see every little thing that he does on the ice. It's been awesome, and you could just imagine for Tyler Cleven that he probably played. I don't remember which NHL Giroux graced the cover of, but he was probably playing NHL whatever when Giroux was on the cover. And that's one of the guys he looked up to, shaking his hand today. Holy smokes, Lee.
That would be so cool.
Oh,
to have that happen, right? To just watch somebody and realize that you're playing on the same team as them. You watch them growing up, and we talk about it all the time. This season has been very up and down. It hasn't been the way that they wanted it to go. But having Claude Giroux on this team is just incredible, I think, for the city, for the rest of the guys, for the team, and just to see how competitive that guy is day in, day out. It's been one of the really good things that's happened to this team.
It's so good. And it's like for so many reasons, as you pointed out, like just going down the list, like his face-offs that he takes, and then also that he can help guys like Stützle and Pinto. His point production, the guy's a point-of-game player.
Yeah.
I don't know if a lot of people expected that. His competitiveness, as you mentioned, I've seen this to Lloydy the other day. He's one of the few guys that, like, you can noticeably see plays well angry. Not a lot of people can do that. Like, when they're getting angry, the game thrown off a little bit or whatever, he's like, better when he's angry. I love his competitiveness and his desire to win all the time, and obviously that kind of element in the locker room is good for the trickle-down effect for everybody in it. And like, we know who Brady is, but Brady can always, you can always use support. And especially when it comes from a veteran who was a captain in a tough market and a superstar in the league. It's incredible. You mentioned the city. So many reasons why it's awesome that he's a part of this franchise.
And I hope people don't forget when we always mention, and we're guilty of this, you know, free agent signings, and they hardly ever work out for some of the big money. When you sign a free agent and you give them big money, rarely does it work out the way that you want. Well, I know he's only 1 year in, but it's worked out as well as it possibly could have.
Yeah, one of, if not the best free agent signings this franchise ever made.
Yeah. In a season where they're not going to make the playoffs, that's a big statement, and it's completely true.
Got to think of another 28. Todd White would be on that list.
There you go. Go ahead,
I was
text.
Just going to say, text came in, back to the Cleven talk. If Branny is a mainstay and so is Cleven, would we consider trading JBD or Zub?
I was going to bring up Ranstrom with you at some point here. Just, I thought it was really interesting when Pierre Dorion talked the other day about, was it yesterday?
Yeah, yesterday he spoke, yeah. After
the, and how the first person he thought could go over and play the right side was Erik Brännström, more than anyone else on his team. I just thought that was interesting to bring his name up first. And then he obviously played really well last night.
He's been playing well a good chunk of the season.
I agree.
And when he's come out of the lineup, in my opinion, he hasn't deserved to come out of the lineup. He's turned himself into a good defender. You'd want more points given what he was drafted as and the expectation and the trade with Mark Stone. But maybe taking care of his own end and the couple of goals that he has scored in the last handful of games, maybe let it go a long way to maybe not being the guy. I think when he was acquired and the GM called it his best day on the job kind of thing, I think a lot of people were expecting like a Carlson light or something.
Yep.
And I don't think we'll ever get that, but if he could chip in a little bit and defend well, I'm definitely comfortable going in with this blue line into next year. We'll have to see what happens with Travis Hamonic, for one, and Erik Brännström for that matter. But to the Texas point, I'm not trading Zub. That it doesn't make Zub expendable.
I don't think, sorry to catch up, but Zub has not had a great year.
I'm giving him an excuse, but he's been injured multiple times.
Yep.
That's got to impact the flow, but I think he's been steady lately.
And he hasn't played with a lot of consistency either. And, you know, Shabbat's either been pretty good or not so good. So that's harder. But I don't know that people would look around and be willing to give you a lot for Artem Zub in a trade right now. Anyway, you just signed him to a new contract. He's been okay, but I'm not like not everyone else around the league looks at Artem Zub and goes, "Yeah, you know what? If we could never get that guy, we'd give up a lot to get Artem Zub." What's he going to make next year? 4-6, somewhere around there.
I think the texter brought up JBD. I think that's the question that you think him and Lassie Thompson. What does it mean for them? And of course, we haven't even seen Tyler Cleven play a game yet.
Yeah.
Maybe he needs a full year in Belleville.
Right.
But I think definitely with the acquisition of Chychrun, with the progression of Erik Brännström, this is a deeper blue line right now. And I think if those guys, Thompson and JBD, are here next year, they have to kick the door down and beat somebody out of camp. But
that's good. You want people to...
I'm not saying it's bad.
Yeah.
But I'm saying that there's not a lot of room for those guys.
I'm not trading anyone. I'm not. Go kick the door down. Get on the team. And if you can't, then go down to Belleville and be ready when we call you up. Because if you're going to be a good team, you're going to need some defensemen because guys get hurt. So
yes and no. I'll say, like, I agree with that point. Like, you need, what, 8 to 10 guys that are capable of playing the NHL to get through a season? For sure. I meant yes and no to the trading thing. I'm not trading because I don't know if there's a tremendous value in either of those guys right now. I'm not, like, forcing, you know what, we have enough defenders, let's make this trade. But if you're going to tinker with your roster, whether it's adding a goaltender or a depth forward, someone to play on the third line, like, if you're looking to improve somewhere, maybe one of those guys is a part of a deal to do that. And in that, if that's the case, yeah, I have no problem with their inclusion in that deal.
All right, before we go to break, the latest I can find. Here, Graham, is we don't know who Canada's playing yet because the last draw is not over yet at the Women's World Curling Championships. And they needed Norway and Sweden to lose to end up getting a bye. And right now, Norway's up 5-2 over Germany. So Sweden and Denmark are 3-3. So I think she'll be playing a quarterfinal game, Kari Anderson, at the Women's World Curling Championships. We'll talk to the co-host of She's Got Game, Vanessa Sanchez, joins us next on The Drive on TSN 1200. Welcome back to The Drive, Lever Sage, Graham Creech. Don't look at me that way. I'm sick.
I'm not looking at you like that. It's because I think you moved your mic. You positioned your mic.
No, it was my voice. It was my voice. You just don't like my voice.
No, it was too loud.
Just like I don't like the voice of whoever's singing here.
Who's singing, Lee?
I have no idea.
Ask Vanessa.
I don't want to, but we're going to find out. Probably Michael Bolton. Go to the Gabriel Pizza Hotline and the co-host of She's Got Game, Vanessa Sanchez. I'd say her regular Friday visit, but she ditched us last week.
I did. I feel... listen to that tune.
Who is this?
This is Benny Mardonis.
Who? No, honestly.
I don't even know what she said.
I don't either. Who?
His name is Benny Mardonis. He, I think, only ever had that one song, Into the Night.
Was that the song?
That was the song. And I promise you, it is the greatest music video that has ever been made. I need you guys to watch it. It was probably shot on a handheld camcorder in 1980, if those existed then. I think they did. It was made...
Graham's bringing it up right now as you are talking, which is just super for us.
It's cinematic gold.
I wish I could see this gold, but there's like a 15-second ad that I can't skip through, so...
Well, it's worth paying for YouTube Plus.
When Graham asked me, he's like, do you know who this is? I'm like, I have no idea who this is.
I thought you would.
I can tell you, Vanessa, 98% of everyone listening right now has no idea who Benny Mardonis is.
Okay, please, listeners, if you know who this is and if you know the song, and more importantly, if you have seen this video, text in and please validate me. I'm not even joking. Like, the Sanchez family watches this video as a family unit. I'm not even exaggerating, at least twice a year.
It looks terrible.
It's so bad and so good. You got to wait till you get to the green screen at the end when they're on the flying carpet over the Statue of Liberty.
Okay, we have things to talk about here.
Yeah,
and
we
Benny
do.
Mardonis, I didn't think was going to take up this much time. I say that
I'm at the Aladdin Jasmine part here.
There we go.
I was going to say, I say that like we've done anything constructive in the last 2.5 hours. But first of all,
I was going to say, this program comments on every song from Break Ever.
Ever.
Like, regardless if it's Cam or Conas Vida.
No, listen. We on the drive just try and be like you on In the Box. Okay?
Yeah.
She's got game coming up at 6 o'clock. Why don't you tell us not only what's coming up tonight, but what's coming up, I don't know, in the future? Like, next week? Next year?
Like forever?
Well, forever's a long time, Vanessa. But
I'm committed.
Yeah, how about in the next...
Forever.
I thought he was going to sing.
Forever. Great reference.
Why don't you... I thought he was going to sing Forever Young right there for a second. But Graham wouldn't know who that's by, so...
Come on.
Who's it by?
Rod Stewart.
No, Alphaville.
Alpha.
Come on. Creech. Creech is having a really hard time with his 80s music today, so it's been difficult. But
there's a Forever Young by Rod Stewart?
Yeah, but it's not the Forever Young from Alphaville.
It's my Forever Young.
Yeah.
that's not an L there. It's not like I guessed the wrong artist. Come on.
Are we not like the same age? I know these things.
If I said Forever Young to you, Vanessa, you would know Alphaville first, right?
Yes.
Okay.
That's Rod Stewart.
It's an L.
No way.
Okay, overtime loss. Can you take a point?
Yeah.
No, I got a W there.
That's not a W. Vanessa, what's coming up on She's Got Game? And tell us some good news here.
Okay, some good news. I think it's good anyways. Is that I am staying on She's Got Game forever. It's bittersweet news because Robin, who created She's Got Game, she was the original co-host. Her and Michaela started it back in summer of 2021. She went on mat leave. Last February, she went on maternity leave and so gave up one baby, and She's Got Game for another baby, her human child. And so that's when I filled in, and I thought it was just going to be temporary, but she recently decided that she is going to step away from She's Got Game, and so I am staying on permanently. So it feels like it has been permanent anyways. I mean, I've been around for like just over a year at this point, and gotten pretty comfortable, and I'll be honest, I was getting a bit bummed out knowing that it was coming to an end at some point, but it's not now. So I'm staying with She's Got Game forever and ever.
Well, that's awesome news. You've been crushing it, and it just means that you get to have your Friday hits on the drive as well, leading into that. So, congratulations. That's great news.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm really, really excited to get to stick around and talk to you guys, of course.
Well, talk to us about what's coming up at 6.
We talk a lot about NCAA basketball, obviously. It's March Madness. Sweet 16 is underway right now, literally right as we speak. We've got 4 games today and 4 tomorrow. Miami is currently leading Villanova 64-63 with 1:42 left in the first of the Sweet 16 games. So it's all very, very exciting stuff going on. We talk a lot about basketball. Michaela and I get very into our brackets and then get really sad when we're not doing great at them. But, yeah,
who's doing
better? A lot of that. It's hard to say. We both at this point have – we're tied, actually. We realize that we are tied. We both have 3 of our 4 Final Fours still in. So – lots can happen this weekend. Yeah.
Tell us about Aaliyah Edwards.
Aaliyah Edwards is fantastic. She is one of 2 Canadians that is still going strong in Sweet 16 right now. She's a Kingston girl. She is a star player for a team that has a lot of star players at UConn. They've got AZ Fudd. They have Paige Beckers, who is injured. She hasn't played this year, but is probably the biggest name for UConn. But Aaliyah Edwards has made a name for herself in Paige Becker's absence as AZ Fudd has dealt with injuries over the course of the season. She's been phenomenal in the first two games. She had 28 points in the first round win over Vermont, 19 points in the second round over Baylor. UConn is just incredible. This is their 29th straight trip to the Sweet 16. They have 11 national championships. So they play tomorrow at 2 p.m., and that'll be great to watch. If you want to watch another Canadian as well on a team that has an even better chance probably at winning, Leticia Emahiri, who plays for South Carolina. She's a Mississauga girl. She is one-fifth of this like powerhouse all-time dream team that is happening at South Carolina right now. They've played together, the four of them. So Leticia Emahiri, Aaliyah Boston, Zaya Cook, Bria Beal, and Olivia Thompson. They've played together for 4 years. They've lost 8 games in 4 years. And so they are favorites to repeat. So one of these two teams, I would guarantee, is going to win. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it all plays out. But yeah, UConn and South Carolina are the two to watch if you want to cheer for a Canadian or a winning team.
Yeah, I know Leah has a question in a moment, but I don't in any sport really care for the teams that win all the time. And I know UConn has kind of seen that streak snap a little bit, but I don't know. I'm torn. I like rooting for Canadians, but the teams that win all the time, like the Patriots, I didn't hate the Patriots before, but they obviously build up a following of fans who weren't always there in the beginning. And when you win all the time, it's like, okay, I've had enough of you. So I don't know. I'm torn now with the Canadian content versus people that win all the time.
That's totally fair. I completely get that. I think even though South Carolina, you know, like I said, has only lost 8 games in 4 years, they still have this, I don't know, there's still this feeling, this like culture that they're still so early on in a maybe potential dynasty. Like, I don't know, it's very hard to call the reigning champs and the number one team in the country, you know, not like the best. They are the best, but they still have this kind of like underdog mentality. I don't really know how to describe it. It's just vibes, you know? But yeah, like UConn has a very long history. I think that's what it is. It's just like the history of this team has gone on for so long. I mean, Diana Taurasi, Sue Bird, they played for UConn and won with UConn and have made the name for that team and the legacy of that team. But South Carolina still it's a very young dynasty, if that helps you at all with your decision making.
There's a lot of good texts coming in while you're talking, and most
least
of them
distracted.
I am, because most of them are never heard of the guy, never heard of him. Who is this guy? But there is
another text that says Forever Young is for sure Rod Stewart, by the way.
Yeah, Graham wrote that one in himself, yeah, Vanessa, yeah, to make him feel better.
But there is the latest text, Vanessa says, that is the worst pathetic video I've seen. I'd rather watch grass grow or paint dry.
Again,
that's what makes it so funny.
Right. Sometimes really bad things can be really good because yes, they're really bad.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yep. I'm glad Benny Mardonis got a few more YouTube views today.
Speaking of things that are really good but really bad, but they're fun to but they're fun to watch because they're really bad. Anything that involves the New York Football Jets. Right?
Oh, it's so what is happening in New York?
But I really am, and I mean this completely, like, seriously. Mm-hmm. As a fan of a team, like, if that were my team, and I knew that they were super bad every year, but I rode with them. It's like Cam thinking that the Lions are going to have a winning record next year, thinking, you know what? They won't, but they'll play well at the end of the year, and they'll encourage you and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. The New York Jets are the same thing, right? But yeah, now, if this were my team, mm-hmm, and Aaron Rodgers still isn't a New York Jet, but it looks like he's going to be a Jet, but he might be a Jet, but he's probably going, he got all his buddy's jobs there, but will he be the quarterback there? I don't know if I would love it if that were my team, but you are a New York Jets fan, so how do you feel about the ongoing drama? Because we've asked you about this now for weeks.
I know. I really thought like 3 weeks ago when we talked, actually, I think like 2 months ago, right before I came on the show, AJ texted me and he was like, here's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about Aaron Rodgers going to the Jets. And I was like, okay, sure. And now here we are 2 months later and still no answer. It's just
Jesse, so you know the difference before you answer. I ask you what you want to talk about while AJ tells you what you're going to talk about.
Is anyone listening shocked? Anybody?
Oh, yeah. Very notable difference there. Yes. No, there is this very weird standoff going on, and I don't know what's taking so long. As a New York Jets fan, I am currently a little antsy. As I've told you guys, I'm not stoked about Aaron Rodgers being my quarterback, but again, it is a decision that I don't get to make, and so I'm trying to deal with it. What I am stoked about is that the New York Jets are trying so hard to get him that they are signing a ridiculous amount of great players. Alan Lazard last week signed from the Packers. He was on Aaron Rodgers' wish list of players that he wanted to see. Mecole Hardman from Kansas City just signed yesterday. This is a two-time Super Bowl champ with Kansas City, now coming to the New York Jets electively. Ezekiel Elliott, he has narrowed down his interests between the Jets, the Bengals, and the Eagles. Apparently the Jets don't really want him, but there's something that feels really nice as a Jets fan to be like, oh, we are a workplace of choice. I like that. Odell Beckham Jr. is interested. It seems to be very mutual. Like, this is fun for me. I don't get this kind of fun as a Jets fan. Like, as long as I have been a Jets fan, I have not seen this kind of offensive interest ever. Defensive, maybe. We have had amazing defenses along the way. Amazing for Jets, by Jets standards.
Yeah.
Like, some very good defenses. We have never been an offensive team. And especially not in the air. Like, ground and pound was the name of the game for a while. Like, we do not get wide receivers wanting to come to this team, and we're going to have like too many now.
So I guess my question for you, and not to cut you off, but my question for you is, number one, would you be okay, like, if the Jets ended up winning with Aaron Rodgers, would it still feel the same as winning kind of organically but not having him? Or I kind of feel like the Jets are in this weird, if Aaron Rodgers does come in, and you told me about all the great players, it seems like all the list of Green Bay Packers that he basically told the media were no good and he needed to leave are all the guys he's trying to get jobs in New York, which is really cool for him. But that window, like, if he goes there, the window suddenly is, you better win now. It's not growing and, you know, being in 2 or 3 years, you can be something great for a long time. It's going to be this short window of, can you win now? And then it's going to be gone. Are you okay with that?
I am. I am okay with that, because it's better to have at least some hope for 1 year and go all in than have nothing, which is what I've been dealing with for the past 20 years. So, yeah,
that's
with
very
that.
Fair.
I think if you put yourself in the shoes of a Jets fan, I think that is something you take for sure.
But again, I come and look, I don't want to get off on the Cowboys tangent, but if Aaron Rodgers came to be the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, I don't know how I'd handle it. Like, I don't know that I'd be okay with this. They haven't had success in the playoffs, but if Aaron came in and won a couple of games and then he was gone, I don't know. So I'm trying to put myself in the spot of Jets fans, but I wouldn't be okay with it if that were my team.
Like, even
but what
like,
you just said though is one of the you just said they haven't been very great in the playoffs. My team hasn't even made the playoffs.
Yeah.
The Jets haven't even made it that far in over a decade. We have the longest streak of not making the playoffs. Like, we have nothing to lose.
And if you like, if this is like a 2 year experiment, it's not like you're throwing everything out the window. Like, you can still draft a quarterback and or acquire one in free agency or through trade or whatever. Like, it's not like it's Aaron Rodgers or bust.
Exactly. Yep. And I think it will be really good for a lot of these guys. Like, we saw guys like Sauce Gardner last year and Garrett Wilson, who were like rookies of the year, to get to go into their sophomore seasons and have all these guys around them who have all of this experience, who have Super Bowl winning experience, to help them, you know, grow into these roles, I think it's great. I really, really genuinely, again, as much as I do not like Aaron Rodgers as a person, I like what is happening around him right now, or for him.
Vanessa Sanchez, the permanent co-host of She's Got Game. That's a nice ring to it. Congratulations. We look forward to talking to you next week and look forward to looking or listening to the program coming up at 6 o'clock. 11
thank
o'clock
you.
Tomorrow as well?
Yes, yes, that is true.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye, boys.
Vanessa Sanchez on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline. Gabriel Pizza, the official pizza of the Ottawa Senators. She's got game coming up at 6 o'clock, and you can hear it tomorrow morning at 11. That's good news for her. Her and Michaela are a fantastic team. So I think that's good for all of us, including the listener. Right?
Yeah, no kidding.
Come back, give you a bit of an update on the World Match Play Championships. Canadian had to go to a playoff about an hour ago. Like a 1, 2, 3, 4-hole playoff, depending on how long it went. That has just concluded. So we'll tell you about that and more when The Drive continues on TSN 1200.
The Drive continues on TSN 1200.
Oh, I know one listener who's loving every minute of this.
Welcome back to The Drive. Lever Sage, Graham Creech, Cam Clement. 180s band that Graham Creech knows who it is.
It's not one. I just don't know the ones you've been naming.
Like all of them so far.
I know Corey Hart. I just don't enjoy Corey
Hart. You know what?
Yeah,
I've not had a good 80s day. Just take the L today.
I'm not, especially when you're telling me to take the L with the Rod Stewart. Like, you're taking the L.
You did hear Vanessa, right?
You did see the text, right?
Oh, yeah. I saw somebody on Bob Dylan. You actually responded with a good, yeah, it's 80s. Theme. Thanks for the Bob Dylan text. Thanks. When was Forever Young by Rod Stewart? When did it come out?
Which year? I'm not sure.
All right. Tears for Fears.
Graham. And I don't love Tears for Fears.
So who is loving that?
Seaver Sage, and he's already texted in. Bleep you, creature. How can I stay mad at you, though?
He doesn't love Tears for Fears.
No. Long story short, Super 70 Sports, which is one of the greatest followers on Twitter, tweeted their album cover once.
Okay.
And I don't remember what the caption was, but I think the caption was something to do with like how underrated or how great of a band they were. And I liked the picture because the way he worded the caption was funny, but mostly the picture was like just classic 80s. And like those guys got curly mullets and...
Yep.
Like I just
thought it's 80s, yeah.
So I just thought it was funny, and then Seaver like messaged in like, because he knows what I play most of the time. He's like, "Oh, I respected your opinion in music. What is this? Like, how could you that actually be your opinion?" I'm like, I could name you two or three Tears for Fears songs. I'm like, I just liked the tweet. So okay, so somehow that spiraled into it. Whenever I'm producing, and Seaver listens all the time, I'll just rock some Tears for Fears to get him going. Kind of like how Conesvita pushes the buttons with you guys with your whatever.
I just don't know how. So I've never heard.
He won't do it with AJ, though.
No.
I noticed that. He'll play songs and artists you don't like. But once AJ does, he won't do that.
No.
So you could tell where he'll stand up to you, but
yeah.
Not AJ.
It's because AJ might actually reach across the glass and do something to him.
It's true. I was there. Cam Clement. Was I think I was producing in the box and Cam came in to
so
produce
much
for you guys.
Fun with AJ on holidays, isn't it? You can say anything you want.
I'd say this to AJ to his face. But Cam opened your show with Chili Peppers, and AJ went sideways.
I wasn't there for that day.
Oh,
so
you know what? Maybe I was hosting with AJ. I was in the studio. Anyways.
I've heard about this,
and
but
yeah,
I was not there.
He's just going nuts, and poor Cam's like, "What? Like what?" And AJ thought he was trolling him. And I'm just dying laughing because I know how much AJ hates the Chili's. But it was just innocent mistake by Cammer. And I guess he refuses to play it again. Conesvita refuses to play it.
Seaver, I get the fact that you don't like things, but is Tears for Fears that... I've never heard of anybody Like, you might not love Tears for Fears, and that's fine. I've never heard anybody like, oh, I really can't stand Tears for Fears. They're terrible. They're this, they're that. I've never heard anybody say this.
I don't know.
I think AJ has a newfound soft spot for me when I played all those bottom of the barrel St. Paddy's Day songs. And
exactly.
Not a peep.
Yeah, you're right. But try and go Chili's or try and do some other things and see if he still feels the same way about you, Cam. How do you feel about DJ Chark?
I feel good about DJ Chark. I mean,
going to the Panthers.
Yeah, I mean, that's okay. Like, look at this receiving core already they got, and maybe more in the draft. And I just wanted to correct one thing you said to Vanessa. You said that I think they'll make the playoffs. I actually know.
Oh,
they'll make the playoffs.
Right.
Lions are a top 10 team next year.
Oh, for sure.
So are the Jags.
Yeah. You know what the Lions are? And I hate to say it. They're the Senators. Over the last few years. You know what? They got to start well. They're going to be a playoff team. They're right on the cusp. And you know what? Then they start poorly. And then they finish strong. And then they give you this thought that things are going to change next year. And then guess what? They don't.
Well, they were on the cusp last year, like the Sens are on the cusp right now, and next year they'll make the playoffs like the Sens will next year. So you kind of talked yourself into that one there. Because
okay.
Like the Sens have never been on the cusp except this year. So I kind of agree that the Lions finally broke through and almost made it, like the Sens are almost going to make it this year, and then next year they'll make it.
I love how much passion you have, but you can't say they broke through and then follow it with they almost got there. That's considered not a breakthrough, right? To break through, you actually have to get there, and they didn't get there. So,
17 picks Dak Prescott threw last year.
Yeah, I know. And just into the playoffs and retired Tom Brady and all of those things that the Cowboys did accomplish. I did see a weird thing today. So Dak Prescott got a full right leg tattoo. 10 hours of 4 different artists tattooing his leg at the same time. His whole right leg is now a tattoo. And then the media were really appreciative because few of them followed up and did a story on it. And he invited them to the house to like watch it, cook them dinner, had a full evening of it. Anyway.
How's this going to translate on the football field? What are you getting at? He can take the pain.
Graham?
And the pain is the pain that comes from the L column.
Oh. 1 hour to go here on The Drive on TSN 1200.